Welcome to another episode of Kane Collects. Before I get to my next guest, which I'm very excited about, don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, to tell a friend, tell a family member. You can download an Odyssey or Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, social media. I'm on Instagram at Kane Collects, K-H-A-N-G, Collects. YouTube. I just posted another YouTube video of me trying to look for a Michael Jordan gold card, which is really rare, actually. So that's a cool video. Same thing, Kane Collects, K-H-A-N-G, Kane Collects on YouTube. And without further ado, a very, very special guest. For those that don't know, I do produce a show Monday through Friday on 97.1 The Ticket, Carson Anderson's show. And one of the hosts that I produce this show, Scott the Gator Anderson, joins me for this episode. Scott Gator, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be part of the Kane Collects podcast.
Well,
Kane Collects or Kane's Collects? Kane Collects.
Kane Collects.
Your name. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So those that don't listen to the show or don't know, you're wondering maybe why I have Gator on the show. And Gator collects guitars. And I told you, if you can collect it, I will talk about it. And this episode is going to be about Gator's guitar collection. He's got a great one. I don't know a ton about guitars, but I do know they can get very valuable, of course, and get expensive, as Scott's going to tell us. But before I get to it, do you remember the first guitar you purchased and what kind of guitar it was?
I do. I was in high school, and I think I was a sophomore in high school, and I bought a guitar off of one of my classmates, and I didn't realize where he had gotten it from until many years later, but it was a BC Rich, it was a red BC Rich NJ series style guitar, which wasn't I think brand new. It was probably like $250 or whatever. I think I got it for $100, and it came in a hard shell case. The case alone is probably worth $50, so. But it was a total metal looking guitar. It had a really cool shape to it, or has a really cool shape to it. It's got like a piece of it cut out that you wouldn't expect, like a normal body of a guitar. And this piece is cut out. That's just what made BC Rich kind of set itself aside. Lita Ford plays a BC Rich, very similar to it. CC DeVille, the guitar player for Poison, he used to play a bunch of BC Rich guitars back in the day. So that's the one I got. And shortly thereafter, I got an amplifier, and I couldn't play a lick, but it was fun as hell just to mess around on that thing. And the interesting thing about the guitar is that I knew that one of my friends knew a guy that knew the guitar. And so he came over. He's like, oh, I remember this. I used to play this a couple years ago. I go, oh, okay. But I didn't realize who he had got it from. I was at one of my high school reunions, like a 30th reunion or something like that, 25th reunion or somewhere in there, and met up with a guy who came in from California. And I found out that it was actually his guitar originally. I had no idea until all these years later. And so I brought it out to this gig. He happened to be playing in his band in California, but came in for the reunion and was playing a show in Kego. And I brought the guitar out for him. Like, here it is, man. He's like, you got to be kidding me. This thing it still looks great. It's still in great condition. And yeah, I haven't played it in a few years, but it was always special because it was my first.
So even though, like, you're not necessarily a guitar player or a good one at that point, because I know you've been learning and you know, messing around with guitars, but you just love, I mean, you had an admiration for guitars, obviously, and you love that kind of music that uses those kind of guitars.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that I've always been a huge fan of music, and it's why I got into radio, was because of music. I wanted to play music, and we had a high school radio station that got into it, so I always loved it. And with the guitar aspect of it, yeah, it was just, even without taking lessons, you could still make noise with it. And if you knew a couple of things, you know, how to hold your fingers correctly on a guitar for just a couple of chords, it can sound cool as hell. It's two notes, but you play those two notes all day long as loud as you want. And it's just great. So I've always kind of loved the guitar. And as the years went on, you know, I started to accumulate more guitars, and I'm not sure how this really happened. You know, it started with that BC Rich, and then a year later I had a friend of mine who had this guitar. It was an old Palmer guitar, which is kind of like a Gibson knockoff. And he's like, I don't want it. You want it? I'm like, what do you want for it? He goes, nothing. He just gave me the guitar. I'm like, okay. And it's not a great guitar, but 25, 30 years later, I gave it to a buddy of mine. I said, can we fix this up in any way? He's like, oh yeah. Put new pickups in the guitar. And we did a couple other things to it, and it sounds killer. It's awesome. So I got that a couple years after I was, you know, I had the BC Rich, and then I got another guitar from another friend of mine in high school. His older brother's guitar. It was an old Epiphone. And he's like, yeah, he just doesn't want anything for it. If you want, he can have it. I'm like, okay, cool. Which was really cool. So I started to accumulate guitars before I was 20. And then when I was 26, I got a full-time job at the radio station as a producer. And I think it was my third paycheck. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to go get a nice guitar. And I ended up trading in that Epiphone, which I regret to this day for trading it in because I got hoodwinked. They knew how valuable it was, and I had no idea. And it was like this old Epiphone Sunburst Les Paul Jr. type guitar, which in today's world is probably worth, I don't know, $1,500, $2,000 maybe. But back then, I didn't know. It was, you know, so long ago. I just like, yeah, throw it in because I wanted this sweet metal guitar, which was a Jackson. And you know, I traded a couple other things in with an old amplifier, and I got this Jackson guitar and an amplifier, and I still had to pay like $700 out of pocket, but it was worth it because it was the first thing I actually bought with my own money after being a full-time employee. And yeah, it was just a great memory.
So on the podcast, I mean, we do talk a lot about sports cards and things like that. But like I mentioned earlier, if you collect it, you know, I'll talk about it. But the reason I mentioned the sports card thing is because when you're a kid, you don't have a real job, you know, whatever like your allowance was or cutting lawns, whatever, you take that money, the few bucks you had, buy some packs of cards and rip them open and have fun with your friends. Yeah. So as far as the guitars are, I feel like they're got to be a little bit more expensive than that. Are you like a card collector where once you got a real job, you just mentioned you had your first producer's check or whatever, and you become an adult and you have some supplemental income and things like that. Like, is that where, you know, you start kind of putting more money into it and it's all like, hey, I can actually afford stuff that I was dreaming about when I was younger, right? Was that
the same thing? You know, I totally understand what you're saying. It's like, you know, when you're younger, you don't have money to buy that great rookie card of, you know, some player, baseball player I was a, you know, fan of or whatever in the 60s. But now maybe, I wasn't even around in the 60s, but you know, a player that started in the 60s, like you get a Nolan Ryan rookie would be awesome, right?
Yep.
But I can't afford that. And today it's probably like, what, $5,000 or something like that or more. I suppose I could, but that's not where I channeled it. But yeah, to your point, I did that with guitars. I bought my first expensive guitar back probably maybe about 15 years ago, I would guess, because it was before I moved to this house, and I've been here for about 12 years now. And it was a Gibson Les Paul Traditional, and I think I paid like $1,800 for the guitar. And it was a big investment at the time for me. And I'm like, okay, well, I figured I'm done. I've got the Gibson. I still have the Jackson. I still have the BC Rich. I still have the Palmer. I'm done. No problem. Well, the problem was that when I went and got that guitar, I met somebody. And he's been like a dealer for me. And it's like, first taste is free, and then it's over with, man. My buddy Garrett Bolanek, who's the best guitar player in Detroit, and I say that without any – I mean, that is the best guitar player in Detroit. He's amazing. You've heard him play. He plays with the Jody Raffool Band. He played with the Local Heroes. He played with the Rockets. And anyways, really good friend of mine. Because I met him, I needed a recommendation from somebody about who knew stuff about guitars because I wanted really good with guitar. And another friend of mine who was in the Mugs, the band The Mugs, Detroit band, Tony Mugs. Tony said, hey, you got to meet Garrett. So I met Garrett, met his wife, met at the bar in Royal Oak. And they're like, yeah, dude, I'll come out with you. And we went and played about five different guitars at Guitar Center. And I settled on this Les Paul Traditional. And then it was over with. Because from then, he's like, you know, there's a lot of great guitars. I'm like, oh, yeah, there probably are. You know, I probably need a Fender Stratocaster. I don't have one of those. And it's been, you know, whatever this has been now, 15, 17 years. You know, 15 years, I think, he and I have been friends and buying guitars. Yeah, I've bought now. I tried to add it up before I came on. I think I have 23 electric guitars, and I have a couple acoustic guitars, but they're electric acoustic guitars. I think to play acoustic guitar, I think you have to be really good, and I'm not. So I don't want to spend the money on those because those can get really expensive. But yeah, that started me off on a roll where every guitar I've gotten since then has been at least, I think I've spent at least $1,800 on each guitar that I've had since then. So it's an expensive habit, but I live alone. I don't have a family. I don't have kids that I have to save up a college fund for. I have the dog, and the dog has its own expense, but it's nothing like that. So I use my disposable income. I have been anyway. On either renovating the house or buying guitars.
No, exactly. And then I tell people that whatever they collect, just collect responsibly within your means. And you have the means, you have disposable income. So yeah, that's what you're going to do, which is awesome. Trust me, a lot of people that are collecting shoes or jerseys or sports cards, they have disposable income. They're probably going to indulge just like you have indulged in guitars. And you mentioned, I was going to ask you how many guitars you have. So it's like 23 plus at least, right?
Yeah. I think it's 23 electric and a couple of acoustic electric guitars. I have a banjo.
What? I don't even want to get into that. Is that a different market completely? I don't even
know. Well, it is, but there's a story was that like 8 years ago for my birthday, a friend of mine, she got me, she rented me a banjo for 3 months. So I had it for 3 months. And when I returned it, I said, how much is it to buy it? And the guy's like, it's like $120. I'm like, I'll buy it, because she had already paid for the 3 month thing. And it's not an expensive banjo. I think it was probably a few hundred dollars, but I have it just to have it. Like, I cannot play that thing at all. Banjos are like 4 and 5 strings, and it's different. Like guitar, with the guitar strings, you bend the strings, get great noise. With banjos, you don't bend the strings. You're just plucking with one hand. You're literally playing with both hands at the same time, but it's not a strumming motion. It's a pluck. It's crazy. I can't play it. It's no good.
Would you consider like most of the guitars you have, like guitars are also considered like in the collectible, are they investments? Can they go up in value? Are they about what you paid for them? Do they go down in value? Things like that.
They can go down in value. It's funny. I was watching Antiques Roadshow last week and they had somebody had found a 1963 Stratocaster, and it was a left-handed Stratocaster. And I'm like, okay, well that's rare because nobody orders a left-handed guitar. People typically don't, mostly they're all right-handed guitars. Jimi Hendrix played a Stratocaster, and Jimmy was left-handed. But Jimmy played a right-handed Stratocaster. He just turned it upside down to play it left-handed, and he played it backwards. I don't know how people do that. I know another guy that does it, and it's nuts to me. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's a 63. It's got to be expensive. I'm going to guess it's like $40,000, and they valued it $55,000. And I was like, wow, that's expensive. But the guitars I have, I'm going to guess that most of them have at very least have held their value. I don't think any of them have dropped value. And there's a couple I have that I know have increased in value because you just can't find them. I've got some, they call them boutique guitars, the smaller guitar companies that make amazing guitars. And they use maybe different woods and they do different finishes on them. And there's all different types of ways they set them up with the pickups and all that. And I have a couple that I think have increased significantly. Maybe one of them has even doubled in value, which is great. But I have no desire to sell them at this point. But are they investments? Some of them will be considered that, yeah.
You mentioned left-handed guitars. Is there any difference in value in that? Or is there, because I mean, you said less people use left-handed guitars. Would that be more rare, I consider, but I don't know if it's more expensive or investment.
I would have thought that it would have been more expensive because of the scarcity and how rare it is. And yet they said on the Antiques Roadshow that it wasn't, because it's not as desirable to have that. You have to find a very specific person that you got to be left-handed to play this guitar. I suppose you could, turn it over and play it right-handed, but you'd be playing it backwards like Jimi Hendrix was doing. And, you don't do that if you're right-handed because you never had trouble getting a right-handed guitar.
What if someone goes into like their local music shop or whatever, Guitar Center or whatever it may be, if they want to go in there and just buy a guitar, like what's the minimum purchase for a guitar? Like you're looking to spend.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends what you want to do. If you just want to like entry level, you want to learn to play the instrument. you can buy a lot of these stores have a used section, and they'll sell guitars on consignment. And some of them have an amazing collection of those consignment guitars. Motor City Guitar is one in Waterford. They have a massive selection of guitars on consignment, and they've got good stuff, man. I mean, you're getting great deals on it because they're used guitars, but they're great guitars. But if you wanted to spend $200, you can walk out of there with a quality guitar. And the way that they're making guitars nowadays, if you wanted something brand new, I was at Guitar Center last week, and I saw a collection of some really nice guitars that were $300. So you can walk in and not have to spend too much. You can get practice amplifiers for like $100. You can walk out of there with rig set up for $100 and be very happy with it.
So that's the low end.
They're spending tens of thousands of dollars.
That was my next question. So you mentioned like the low end entry level guitars and things like that. What about, I don't know, is it out of your range even? Do you own a guitar that's like was owned by a famous musician, or do you plan on doing that, or is that just too much?
That, I think that's a different realm. That's probably getting into the world of, would you stop it? Sorry, Lois is gapping up. If I were to do that, you're talking about spending $25,000 for a guitar like that. It's something that I would want, might be maybe 20 grand or more, I would guess. So I'm not really into that. I have a guitar. I have an ESP Bengal Tiger guitar. It's a yellow guitar with black tiger stripes on it. And it's a George Lynch model. And George Lynch played with, he was a guitar player for Dokken for years. And then he had Lynch Mob and done a million things. And it's like one of his signature style guitars. I believe it's autographed. I'm pretty sure it's autographed somewhere on the guitar. I think on the back of the neck. And that might be, it's a collector's item, I guess. It's a killer sound. It only has one speed, and that's full throttle on it, because most guitars will have different switches to switch over to different pickups on it. Usually it's three or five, depending on the style of guitar. This one has no switch. It's just one. it's just the humbucker pickup on it, and you can't slow it down. It's loud as hell, and it's great. But that's the only one that I have right now. If I were to get one.
Yeah, what would be your dream if you had to, like, if you could pick any musician to have that guitar that they played, not necessarily at a famous concert or anything like that, but just, hey, I know this was owned by this artist. Who and what, you know, guitar is that?
Yeah, I think there are a couple. They'd be like classic ones, like David Gilmour, the guitar player for Pink Floyd. He played Fender Stratocasters, and he actually recently, a couple of years ago, had an auction where he auctioned off like 100 of his guitars, and they raised millions for charity. But those got out of my range. But if I wanted to pull the trigger, maybe I could have gotten one of those for like 10 grand, but that's out of my comfort zone. But if I could, it'd probably be something from David Gilmour, or if, you know, the late Stevie Ray Vaughan, if he had some guitars come up for auction, if I had the money, that would be amazing, because Stevie Ray Vaughan, one of the greatest guitar players ever lived. You know, obviously Eddie Van Halen. You get your guitar heroes, and you're talking crazy money. There's a bunch of Gibson Les Pauls. If you can find a 59 Les Paul, it's like the holy grail guitars, and those are, they start at six figures, and they can go up to $2 million. I think they've sold at auction for that much. Those are crazy guitars, but yeah, there's some I would definitely like because of the artist.
That's awesome. And you mentioned something a minute ago, and it's big in the collecting world, is autographs. Do you have any guitars that are autographed by anyone famous? And is that something you're interested in? Do you know about that market at all? I don't even know.
No, I don't know much about the market for it. I imagine that it definitely will increase the value of a guitar if it's I'll see stuff at the radio station, for instance, and you'll go by somebody's office, and because we have the music stations there, there's a bunch of guitars in a radio station in our building. And some you'll see autographed by people that, you know, they're kind of fan. I think there's a Kid Rock autographed guitar and some other stuff like that. And if you look at the guitar itself, it would typically be like a cheap guitar. Might be, you know, $200 guitar or cheaper. It doesn't mean it's bad guitar. It's just cheaper. But because it's got the signature on it, it's going to jack up the price. If you were to sell it, you could probably get it for two or three times that value. I've never wanted to have a guitar that had somebody sign it. I never, because I love the beauty of the guitar to begin with. The guitars that I hang on my wall, you know, they're up on the wall for a reason with the great guitars, but it's like aesthetically pleasing for me just to look over and I can see, you know, different colors on the wall, or one day, and I'll change them up all the time. I got 11 hooks on the wall for 11 different guitars, and I have a couple stands, and I could have as many as 15 guitars in this room. But some days I want to have earth tone guitars, you know, or maybe I got an all dark guitar section, or hey, let's do all Stratocaster body styles, or all, you know, Gibson's Les Paul styles guitars. And it's fun to do that, you know. It's but I wouldn't want to have somebody sign a guitar and then what? Because now I'm like, am I going to play this with a guy's autograph on it? If I sweat on it or get it dirty, it's going to ruin it. I don't want to do that.
No, that's probably where you have to have it like a jersey or something, where you put it up in a framing or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, no one touch it. And I imagine, I mean, just like any autograph, you got to get it authenticated if you really want value in it, you know, whether just so people know, I mean, anyone can scribble anything on there, but to get it authenticated by a reputable company, that would help the value if you're into that. Because, and you do mention people can't, you know, we're doing video Zoom right now. People can't see this, but Gator, he mentions he's got guitars hung up on a wall. They're right behind him. I can see them all. Look fantastic. And what I think it's awesome about that is a lot of times people that collect cards, you kind of put them in a case and you put them away and you don't get to see them. And that's like the fun part to me. And you can kind of see, I got some display cases where I'll put cards up and I'll change them out a little bit like you. Cause I think you got to look at your cards. I mean, that's some people have really expensive cards where they put them in a vault. And I get that because they're really expensive. But then I also like, well, now you don't see the card and you don't get to pull it out and be like, I own this, or I own that guitar, or I own this jersey. You know, that to me, that's the one of the best parts about collecting is seeing it.
Yeah, you want to see it and you want others to see it, because it's not that I'm not bragging about these things. Actually, every guitar on my wall, every guitar I own has a story, and there's a reason why I got them. And you know, guitar guys or gals, whatever, any guitar people, they love talking about guitars, and that's what it is. This isn't like, you know, I got somebody who comes over, they're not a guitar fan, and like, oh, look at your show. I'm like, no, that's for me, man. It's artwork for me. Like, I don't have paintings on my wall. I have a few pieces of art, but they're like store-bought. You know, it's crap that I bought in $200 at not even $200 at some furniture store because the color scheme works. You know, it's not good art. But this wall, it's an expensive art wall here, but it's what I want to see. And, you know, I've got some, I have a small card collection too. And that is kind of the bummer about it, because I'd love to have them out on display. But if you have them out, then you got to worry about the glass so that the sun doesn't fade the cards, because God forbid you fade it, there goes all your value. It's like you almost have to keep it in the dark when it comes to cards to keep those value. But, you know, something like this is more like a painting, I guess, that you do want on display.
Yeah, I mean, like, you enjoy it, and obviously, you know, that you like to display it, and you're not showing off, like you said, because you're not even a good guitar player, admittedly, yourself.
No,
it's more about just, these are sweet guitars that I like looking at them, and I can tell you about them and how I got them if you want to know. Do you plan, so what's the next plan for, like, buying more guitars? Like, are you, like, do you actively look, or is it just kind of like it shows up? Are you on a website every night? You know, how's that going?
The addiction is fed through various means. Sometimes I do have an alert that comes to my email from a company called Reverb. And it's all they do is sell musical instruments online. And there are a couple types of guitars that I put on there. Hey, alert me if these show up specifically, or these brands. And I'll get updates on that like once a week, but I haven't acted on one of those in years. But it does give me ideas of stuff that I'd like to see. And there is one guitar that I would love to have, because it was a limited edition run. The company is called Suhr, S-U-H-R. And it was like, I think it was the master builder at Fender like 25 years ago, left to form his own company, Suhr. And they're amazing guitars. It's kind of like I said earlier, the boutique guitars. And these guitars are beautiful, but he created this one in like kind of a Gibson body. And typically his guitars are like Fender bodies. They have Stratocaster or Telecaster or Jazzmaster styles. But he built the Suhr Aura in like a classic Gibson Les Paul style, and they're amazing guitars. He only built, I think there's 100 of them, and I wanted to get one, and until I saw the price, they were like $10,000 new. I'm like, yeah, that's But I'll get an alert if any Sir Aura comes up on Reverb, and if I ever see one that somebody gets desperate and they want to sell it for something that I feel like I can afford, I will snatch that guitar up in a heartbeat. The most recent one I got a few months ago was an Italian company guitar called Paoletti, and it looked gorgeous. And I started doing some research about it and found that the company it's an old wine making company that stopped making wine. They had all this wood left over from the wine barrels, and the wood was anywhere from 130 to 170 years old. So the guitar I have, the wood made to build it, is like 150 years old. And it's gorgeous. And there are other guitars in that family that I saw. I'm like, I really like that. Would I want another one? Yeah. So down the road, that may happen. But I think I'm okay here with the 23 plus. I don't need to go out and get anything. And I don't have too much of a feeling to go out and do it.
No, but a good deal is a good deal, and you won't pass down a good deal, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, if somebody, hey, look at that, like for you, and hey, this Jordan card, you know, retails for $200 or $300, but I'll sell it to you for $70.
Well, I'm all over it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm all over like a dollar card that's retails at, or that values at $5. You know what I mean? Like, I like a deal. So, and I like to collect Michael Jordan cards and stuff. So, but in the card industry, and actually in any collecting and memorabilia industry, there are knockoffs and counterfeits and fakes. Is there such a thing like that in guitars? Like, because you're spending a lot of money here, and do they get verified or authenticated? Like, how's that work?
Yeah, there are some, because some guitars have gotten so valuable that you'll have to check the serial number to make sure, because companies have gotten incredibly good at what they call relicking. So they make the guitars look older. They're already worn in. And I've got a bunch on the wall that are relic, and I love it because they look old as hell and they're like 5 years old, you know? And the Paoletti is one of them, and it's like brand new. So they know how to relic those guitars, and they'll make it seem like, oh yeah, here's a 62 Stratocaster, you know, I'll sell it to you for 25,000. I mean, you could sell it for 40, but I'll give it to you for 25, but you better check the serial numbers. And sometimes with some of those guitars, and it's about the pickups as well, you have to make sure they're original pickups, and you literally have to take the guitar apart to do that. So it's like a double-edged sword, because once you take the guitar apart, it could also compromise the integrity of the guitar. You have to know what you're doing, or at least take it to somebody who knows what they're doing. And there's an affordable way also, because some of the guitars, like Fender has, you know, Fender Stratocasters are great guitars, and you can, you know, get an entry-level Fender Stratocaster for maybe, I think, $800 or $1,000. And then they have more expensive versions that are up to $2,000. And then they have ridiculous ones that are custom shop. But Fender has a part of their company makes Squire guitars. And it's basically, it looks exactly the same. It just has some different components to it. And it's a much more affordable version of it. So some companies have that. Gibson has Epiphone below them, which is a similar thing. Epiphone are very affordable guitars, and they're pretty good guitars too. But if you don't want to spend $1,500 on a Gibson SG, you can get an Epiphone SG for $400, and they're great guitars. ESP is a great guitar company out of Japan, and I've got one of their guitars. It's that George Lynn Tiger guitar I talked about. They have their entry-level brand, which is called LTD, and those guitars sell for a fraction of what these are. So they'll have an LTD version of my guitar, and the one I got is, you know, $3,000 or so. The LTD version might be $700.
Okay.
So there are ways around it. Some are some are upfront and honest about it, and some you might have somebody's just trying to hoodwink you and sell you, you know, newer stock that they're passing off as old stock.
Yeah, be careful, people. As much as me and Gator both like a good deal, it's a true saying where if it's too good to be true, it probably is not true, you know? Yeah. So whether that's cards or guitars or whatever. So with cards, you look at them, you know, that you're cool. You really can't do much with them. With guitars, you're supposed to play them. So yeah. With guitars, does that bring down the value at all? Is that, hey, everyone knows guitars are supposed to be played, and this, you know, that's, I mean, it's still worth what it's supposed to be worth.
I imagine if you went out and bought you know, a signature guitar or somebody, if you had the money to go out and buy a David Gilmour Stratocaster and you paid $15,000 at auction for it and you got it home, that if you took it out and you start playing it, no one's going to know unless there's wear and tear on. And even then, you know, the wear and tear is part of the story of the guitar. So I don't know if anybody's going to even call you out on it because, oh, well, we'll just say, yeah, well, David Gilmour, he played it for years, took it on tour, and, you know, this is a scratch here from 1981. No one's going to know. But at the same time, if I had a guitar that was like worth 25 grand, I would probably play it once to see what it was like and be amazed by it. And then, you know, put it in display case. That wouldn't just be hanging on the wall. That'd be behind glass on the wall so people could see it.
So I do want to talk about your co-host, our co-worker, Doug Karsh, real quick. And people are probably be wondering why I'm bringing up Doug. I'm bringing up Doug because his father was in a band. And his father has a guitar that apparently, you mentioned Garrett earlier in the episode here. Yeah. You're a guitar friend who's a great guitar player, knows a lot about guitars, obviously. I was speaking to him at one of your parties recently. And he was telling me about how Doug Karsh's father owns this guitar and it's worth a ton of money. Can you explain to the people what kind of guitar his dad owns? And they had no idea that it was worth what it was worth. Like, why is it worth so much and what kind of guitar it is?
So Doug's dad was in a band, Freddie Friedel and the Corn Chips, back in the day. Freddie Friedel bought this guitar brand new back, I think it's a 1963. It's a 62 or 63 Fender Stratocaster, and it's a, you know, it's the classic looking Fender Stratocaster burst guitar. And I have one on my wall that looks just like it, you know, just for your sake, because I know you can see it and others can't. It's just, I'm pointing to it right now so you can see it.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly the one. I mean, it looks just like that. That's
but it's from version, 62 or 63 or whatever?
This is an original 19, I think it's a 62 Strat. Uh-huh. And Doug's like, I kept saying, I got to see this thing. He's like, well, you know, I'll arrange it with my dad. You can come over to the house and check it out. I'm like, yep. And I called Garrett up. I'm like, dude, whatever you're doing, drop it. Meet me in Ann Arbor and you got to see this thing. So you know, we went over to Doug's dad's house, his parents' house, and he breaks out this guitar and he didn't even have the case he had was like this makeshift case that was made out of like, I don't know. It was like protected by blankets and stuff. It was really strange but it was beautiful the way they had it set up. I think one of his friends eventually got him an actual, you know, Fender case to put this thing in. And then he still had the original amplifier too from that same 1962. So he's got both of these pieces of equipment that are amazing. They're not priceless, but it's amazing. I'm guessing that guitar is worth, I would guess the guitar is probably worth 50 grand.
Oh my
God. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God.
So he's like, and he brings it out and he plugs it in. And he's like, you want to play it? I'm like, yeah. And I'm, like I said, I'm god awful. I'm like waiting for Garrett to show up because I'm like, I want somebody competent to play this thing so it doesn't look like, and I'm afraid to even handle this thing. And his dad was so cool about it. Garrett finally shows up. And I think we had brought like some beer to give his dad. And his dad's like, oh sure, we're having a beer. And Garrett's playing a thing and he's great. And he's like, this is sick how good this is. And the amplifier also is like one of these old, you know, the tube amplifiers that Fender used to make. And it's just, they're not replicated. You know, I mean, you can't find this stuff. People just, these things aren't just lying around. There are very few of them there. And there's Doug and his dad's got it. It's never changed hands. It's been with him for, you know, 60 years. 60 plus years he's had that. It's amazing.
That's unbelievable. Obviously, he didn't spend 50 grand on it. So this thing,
I don't even know what it was new. I would imagine it. I mean, it's a great guitar. New, it was probably a few hundred bucks.
In 62 or 63?
Yeah, yeah.
And the original
The original amps, probably, you know, 100 bucks or something back then. I don't know. It's crazy.
So, like, and he didn't even get a guitar case for it back then or ever? Like,
I think at some point he, like, lost the case. It was so weird. He, like, you know, pulls it out. And I'm like, that is, I can't believe this is how it's, I mean, it's stored very securely. Yeah, but yeah, it was, yeah, like, yeah, basically wrapped up in, like, blankets. And it was awesome. But I think he does have a case for it now.
Are amps worth anything now that just the amp brought up? Or is that because it was an original? Vintage okay.
amps are worth something. Yeah. And depending on the company, you got some old British amplifiers that are worth a lot. The old Fenders are, anything that has a tube in it, like the tube amps, those are worth some money. Yeah, I don't even try to get into that world. That to me, that's, you gotta be, you gotta play on stage and know what the hell you're doing. Like me, I play at my party once every couple of years and one song and I'm out because I'm so bad. But yeah, I have a few amplifiers, but they're nothing crazy, you know, but that there is a market for the old amps. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause Garrett, well, your buddy was telling, he was blown away when he was telling this story. He's like, man, the original amp. And he's like, he couldn't believe, he's like, this car is, the guitar is like Hendrix used, like not that exact guitar, you know, the one that you had in hand, but like
right,
that,
but
that, that model or whatever. Yeah.
It's like, that's the guitar, right? It's the same year and model. Yeah, it's amazing. Just an amazing story.
Yeah, so people, check your dad's closets or attics or whatever, if they played in a band or whatever. You never know what you might find. Is that like, even at a garage sale or like thrift stores, I know they're not out there for like a $10, but I mean, it's like you said, the antique roadshow. I don't know if you can identify it, whether it's a relic or, you know, a knockoff or a remake, a remodel or whatever. But I mean, people have these things sitting around sometimes. They don't even know it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've gone to some yard sales or estate sales, and my sole purpose is to see if they have instruments, see if there are guitars or amplifiers. And I think on one occasion I saw something was worth taking a picture of. It was something I wasn't sure about. I took a picture of it, sent it to Garrett. I'm like, what do you think? And he's like, he goes, actually, that's priced about right, because it was reasonably expensive. But I was like, all right, I just wanted to know. I was wondering if it was some kind of deal, if like they had it priced low just to sell and the thing's worth five times as much. He's like, no, that's priced exactly where it needs to be. So, but I've heard stories. I mean, I've had some friends that have gone and found a steal at some sale. And Garrett fixes guitars too. So when he goes out and he'll find something, he'll bring it back to his shop, fix it up, and it's all of a sudden it's amazing.
But
that's a different talent. Yeah.
I mean, every collector, whether it was guitars, clothes, cards, you go to yard sales, garage, hoping for that $1 million story, you know, that you find on, you know, online, like, oh, man finds Jackie Robinson rookie card in shoebox, you know, like a story.
Yeah. It's a great story. Like, yeah, I remember when I bought this house, I hadn't been up into the attic area. There's like an attic area over the garage and throughout the rest of the house, but over the garage part, I hadn't been up there. And one day I decided to go up there just to take a look. And I'm like, what if they find like three cases and they're all filled with guitars? Or maybe there's a box and it's got a bunch of, you know, old 50s baseball cards or something. And all I found there was a, you know, a couple slabs of like marble that they used for surround by the fireplace. But it's still, yeah, you hope you find that.
Yeah, that's.
Have you ever bought cards that you found were later to be counterfeit? You ever been burned on that?
No, I haven't had I haven't had that happen. Because if I'm spending a lot on a card, I'm pretty, you know, I'm not, it's probably already slabbed, which is like, it's been authenticated already. And if it's a raw card, like people know what to look for nowadays, like a Michael Jordan rookie card. Okay. There is a lot of counterfeits and fakes of that card, but there's a lot of tells too. You can look up online. I know people too that can identify them real easily. So I've never, you know, knock on wood, had that issue come up. But yeah, I mean, Card World, there were in the 90s, they even had these backdoor copies where Upper Deck and Fleer went bankrupt. And then they were backdooring these cards that were, they're like printed 200 or less or 100 or less or 10 or less. And they would hit the market and people would, you know, you didn't know any better. So it's always, you always got to get this stuff authenticated. But yeah, there, that happens in the car world. It hasn't happened to me, but you got to be careful.
I remember in the late 80s when I would go to some card shows, hearing about the Wayne Gretzky rookie card, that that was one of the ones that was one of the biggest counterfeit counterfeit cards, because obviously Wayne Gretzky and the value when he had broken into the league 10 years prior, and people knew that card was going to be worth something. And if you had the Opeachy version, it's worth even more.
Yeah. And the Opeachy version is actually, like, if it's perfectly cut, then it's probably fake, because part of the Opeachy ones, the machine they used to cut those cards, they kind of left a little bit of like a rigidness on the edges. So it's supposed to be that way. So yeah, but you're right. I mean, Wayne Gretzky rookie card, Michael Jordan rookie card. If you go to these card shows, I'm not, you know, that's why I'm not a huge fan of authenticated cards, even though I have a lot of them, a lot of slabs. But the best part about it is you have to trust the reputable company that this is a real card. Yeah. So that helps, yeah, put your mind at ease instead of buying a raw card out there. But dude, Gator, thank you for joining me, man. This has been fun. We'll get you back on once you buy your next guitar, maybe, you know, a Clapton or something. That would...
Right. Yeah, I'll let you know when I'm ready to spend big boy money on it. That's yeah. Good. Yeah.
Hey, well, have you, before I let you go, though, actually, have you ever thought about, like, if that Grail guitar comes by, like, hey, I just got to package some of these guitars that I have. You know what I mean? An upgrade. Because people do that.
No, I hear what you're saying. Like, yeah. When I sell, like, five of these.
Yep.
And get one sweet guitar. And I've thought about that. And maybe that's something down the road that I would consider, just to, because people that have large guitar collections, they know that they've got the sickness, you know, they call it the sickness. And I think they, all the guys I know that had a bunch, they start to consolidate them and get down. They're like, oh, I used to have like 95 guitars. Like, how many do you have now? Six. I'm like, wow. You know, but what they end up doing is they sell a bunch of them to get different gear. You know, I sold 15 and I got this sweet, you know, 61 SG. I'm like, okay. So I could see somewhere down the road, maybe, where I don't want to have to house, you know, 30 guitars in my house. I'd rather just have, you know, a handful or something like that. But I'm not ready for that yet.
Not yet. But when you are, we'll be here at Kane Collects waiting to give you a call and talk about it. Like I said, thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening, everyone. If this is your first time you've tuned in and downloaded the podcast, and you miss any episodes, go back and you can listen to any other episodes that we've had. Like I said, if you can collect it, I'll talk about it. There's local card shop owners I've talked to. I've talked to a guy, a sports memorabilia, someone who owns an entire Michael Jordan playoff game used shorts and jersey, which is cool. I'm going to do Funko Pop comics coming up soon. So like I said, tell a friend, tell family, catch up on episodes. And as always, keep collecting.
We all know the big game can get pretty unpredictable, which is why you need a connection that is anything but to watch it. With the Xfinity 10G network, you get the reliable connection you need to stream your favorite sports. From football to football, everything in between. Catch it all on the network made for streaming. Treat yourself to front row seats to all the games and get way more into all the sports you're into. When you stream on the next generation Xfinity 10G network,